Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Okay, guys, welcome to the Believe You Me podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Promescent. Listen, here at the Believe You Me podcast, we want you to have a good time with your significant other. Okay, we're talking about in the bedroom. We're talking about that private time at night, which is why I want to tell you about a proper sexual enhancer, which is the Promescent Delay Spray that has been used by over a million men and is clinically proven to help you last a little bit longer in bed. It takes the edge off, keeps sensitivity levels down, so you don't have to worry about finishing too soon. No prescriptions, no mess, no pesky subscriptions required. Just a better time in the bedroom guaranteed with a 60-day money-back policy.
Yeah, maybe you guys don't know this, but it takes the average woman over 18 minutes to climax and the average man just less than 5 minutes. So there's this massive gap between men and women, and we need to close that gap. The way you do that is by delaying it, okay? You take the delay spray, you spray it on yourself, it takes down your sensitivity levels, and you're able to go that much longer, pleasure your significant other that much better, and better sex means a better relationship, means a better life.
So see what the buzz is about, all for yourself, and grab a bottle along with all your sexual wellness products, from specially formulated arousal gels to supplements and more, in one trusted spot that ships fast and discreet. So go to promescent.c, promescent.c, no promo code needed, as they're offering free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Once more, promescent.com. They've got a assortment of products to enhance your sex life, but let's start this goddamn show.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
And new undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael the Count Bisping.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Hi, everybody. Hello. How are you? We're doing fine. I'm great. Welcome to the Believe You Me podcast. Lewis, you're back from Jamaica. This is a late one, hence the weird intro. It is 11 p.m. for you. It's only 8 for me.
It's not even that late for you. I was going to say, you keep on talking about how late it is. I'm like, Bisping, it's like, you know, prime time. You got to get used to this time for when you're performing your show. This is prime time. This is when you got to be on.
Yeah, I know, but prime time for my show. I'll be out of the house. I'll be jazzed up. I'll be fucking dressed up. I'll be ready to rock. I won't have been walking around the house all day doing the shit that I've been doing. I'm commentating the contender and the final Saturday. So it's a lot of research. And when you do the research, it literally puts me to sleep. And that's no offense to the fighters. They're amazing. But it's just like homework. Sitting there at a desk, fucking watching fights, reading stuff, searching, Googling their names, looking at their Instagram accounts, all that stuff. It puts you to sleep. So I am ready. Rebecca's sick. She's upstairs in bed. I've been holding down the fort, made my own dinner. And by that, I mean, I ordered the DoorDash. Do you know what I mean? I did make my own breakfast though. It's like, fucking hell. I had to get my own glass of water. I'm doing a lot, Lewis.
Wow. You sound like me in the villa this week. You should have seen when they put dinner out every day early, and it made me so furious because I'd be sleeping. Then they knock on the door. I was taking a nap in the middle of the afternoon. They're like, "Sorry, dinner's ready." 4:45 p.m. Like, are you out of your fucking mind?
Well,
hard lives.
You know, I was gonna say, you're not endearing yourself to the people. Like, oh, you know, my staff show up every day and they prepare my dinner too early. Hard life you got there, Lewis.
Yeah. Rebecca, well wishes to her. Speedy recovery. Right. Hopefully she's gonna be okay. She's good. I saw you were fishing with Lucas.
Oh yeah, no, we went out and did some ocean fishing on Saturday. Finally caught some fish, so that was nice. That was nice. Cool. And
did you eat it?
Well, we've got it. We've got it. We filleted it. Well, I did it. The guy in the boat did it for us. He said, "You want me to, fillet your fish for us?" I said, "Yeah, please." You know, because I was going to do it. That was going to be part of the fun. I said to Lucas, I said, we'll Google that and we'll do it at home. We'll get the knives out. That'll be fun. And then I went, yeah, no, you do it. He goes, you know, we charge $2 per fish. I'm like, fucking whatever. Just do it. And then tonight, because I've got so much work because Rebecca's not well. And then I had to do.
They could have charged 20 for a fish, by the way.
Yeah. They could have charged me whatever. $2, very cheap. No, yeah. I've been too busy all day. I said, Lucas, we can't do the fish today. So we're throwing it in the freezer. So we haven't, because I leave to Vegas tomorrow. Right. So that fish will still be in the freezer a year from now.
Yeah, you're never cooking that fish. But I'll tell you right now, there's nothing better than the taste of a fish that you cook caught yourself.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. So they say. Lucas is obsessed with hunting these days. Really? He is. He just watches. I bought him a bow. Seriously, but it's he can't use it. Right. It's a hunting bow. I never realized that on Amazon they would sell such a thing without some kind of check. It's fucking about 10 foot tall. It's called a recurve bow, right? Yeah. And it's a legit hunt. And like, because he's all about hunting and he wants to do this and he wants to hunt and he's watching all these fucking hunting programs. I'm like, we got to be careful. I think he might turn into a fucking serial killer because he's watching animals be dismembered late at night on Netflix. But I'm like, all right, well, I'll take you hunting, even though I'm against that. It's just the kind of guy that I am, you know?
So you would take him hunting. You'd actually go kill an animal with him. And do you think he could do it?
Oh, no, he's dying to do it. That's what I mean. I think he is.
Really?
I used to kill 500 cows a day when I worked at a slaughterhouse. Listen, if he's going
to
bring
it's a little different. It was means to an end for you. It wasn't out of any sort of like sport or like.
No,
like...
it wasn't out of sport. You know, he's just a little psycho, but fuck him. That's what he's into. That's what he's into.
What are you going to take him to hunt for the first time he hunts?
Well, he wants to go hunting rabbits. I'm like, you're not hunting rabbits. They're far too cute. Aww. They are far too cute. And I'm like, son, the little rabbit, because they're everywhere around here. He said, we'll get the bow. We'll practice on the bow. He said, we'll get the target. And once I'm proficient at it, we'll go out and we'll find some rabbits. I said, you're not killing rabbits. You're going to find something a little uglier to kill than a fucking rabbit. And then I'm like, I don't think we can do this, son. I said, really, really? I said, that rabbit is just minding its own business and you're going to... I don't think he'll actually go through with it. He's talking about it because he likes, you know, he's 9. Oh, sorry, no, he's not. He's 11. It's late. It's not that late. no, you know, he sees it on TV. He thinks it's cool. I don't really think he'll actually go through and do it. But anyway,
if you had to kill an animal, not a fish, if you have to pick one animal that you have to kill.
Cockroach. Oh, that fucking wasp that stung me yesterday morning.
Not a bug.
Well, it's a creature.
No, a mammal or a bird.
I'd have no problem killing a Harrington. I'd take a Harrington out pretty quick. A Harrington.
A wild hairy Harrington.
They're an endangered species, but fucking they need to go. Anyway, let's get off this topic because there was lots of shenanigans at the weekend. Obviously, we had that Triller Fight Club nonsense. Ooh. And there's a lot to talk about. And of course, Conor McGregor was making headlines last night as well. So, and we got Mackenzie Dern joining us in 40 minutes as well. Mackenzie Dern got a main event coming up for the first time in her career very soon in a few weeks. So she's going to join us. But Saturday night, I saw that, you were on social media bragging that you're like, oh, I'm a real ass dude, so I paid for the stream. You must be one of the only people on the fucking moron that paid for the stream.
Can I tell you why I paid for it? Because I was out of the country. The Wi-Fi sucked as it was. I wanted to watch the fights. It was $15. I thought it was going to be $50. If it was $50, I would have seriously considered getting a free stream. For $15, I was like, that's crazy. It would be more inconvenient for myself to not pay $15 and watch a shitty stream that pops up, it X's out, you got to go to the next one. That sucks. I'm an adult. I'm 39 years old. I'm in a villa with my girlfriend in Jamaica. I could spend $15. So I bought the stream. But yes, I also bragged that I bought the Trump stream because they give you go to the trailer page and they show you both options. You can go, I can click here and watch the regular stream, or I can click right here and see what the fuck Donald Trump is gonna say. And I had to. There was no way. I had to pick the Trump stream. It was the same exact price,
And not for nothing, I will give credit to Donald Trump. He actually had decent boxing knowledge.
Shut up.
I shit you not, dude. He wasn't trolling. He literally just talked boxing the whole night, and he talked like he was a real fan. He has a lot of experience. Remember, in Atlantic City, his casinos, they hosted many and many championship fights. So it was actually interesting to hear him not trying to be like a politician, but just talking about boxing. And then... But yeah, it was obviously it's a thriller, so it's a shit show. But please, what were your impressions?
No, I didn't see it because I was fishing. But I'm glad because all I was interested in was those last two fights. You know what I mean? And I found them online very, very quickly. I watched it on YouTube. They're always on YouTube very quickly for like an hour or two before they get taken down. So I found them on YouTube. Glad I never paid because it was. I mean, Tito Ortiz is not a strategic mastermind. Really?
That was your takeaway.
That's going to blow your mind. It's going to blow your fucking... I had lots of takeaways. Well, I had affirmations. Vitor Belfort's still a piece of shit. You know what I mean? We'll get into that after. But let's start with Tito Ortiz.
Let's start with Tito.
Listen, Anderson's great. Everyone knows he is, right? And he looked good against Chavez in his last fight. And he looked fucking great in this one, as short as it was, 81 seconds. But you know what Tito's big the problem was for him? You know what went wrong? It's that Trump was commentating. Because there's not a single person on this planet that Tito does not look up to more, does not worship, does not idolize more than Donald Trump. Do you know what I mean? The Donald is calling his fight. So in his mind, because he's the biggest Trump supporter on the planet, he's like, I've got to fucking go out there. I'm going to show everyone. I'm going to show Donald how good I am. I'm going to be a savage. You know, and that's what we saw. He went out there on pure aggression and tried to corner Anderson, and corner allowed himself to be cornered because that's what Anderson always does. When I was fighting him, I'm like, one of the main things you can't do is allow him to play these mind games. Anderson always just goes up against the fence, like against Stefan Bonner, you know, and just allow people to tee off on him and uses his head movement. He tried it on me. And when he tried it on me, I walked off. I went, no, fuck that. I'm not going to do that. He allowed himself to get cornered. And then Tito was thrown away with punches. He's never the fastest or the most powerful puncher, but he can punch, of course. And he's throwing punches and Anderson's slipping. He's looking cool. One or two's getting through, but for the most part, he's missing them all. But as Tito's throwing, he's punching himself out. Can't go forever. And then at the end, those last three hooks were laboriously slow like that because he's like, I have to do this for Donald. And then Anderson's just like, there you go. Boom! One little shot. Wasn't even that fucking hard. And down Tito goes.
Yeah, Tito got flattened. He hit him with the one shot. That's really what put him out. And then he was sort of like being held up by the ropes. And yeah, here we go. And then Tito, yeah.
But he caught him in a straight right there.
Listen, I like the 2 minutes because of this right here.
Yeah. And then yeah, he hit him with a couple. Hooks at the end as well. As he was going down, just what was that one fight? Was it Tommy Morrison versus Ray Mercer, where he was going down.
I'm not fucking, sure. But the way he went down looked nasty because he was out like a fucking light. He was unconscious, man. And then you know what? We'll get into it all. But do you know what the ultimate emasculation of Tito Ortiz was that Anderson did? Was he gave up his seat in first class for Tito's wife, which is so nice. It's very nice of him. You know what I mean? Obviously, they both flying back into LAX, you know. Anderson lives in LA, Tito lives in Huntington Beach. So you fly into LAX and they're both flying out on the same day. And it turns out they're on the same flight, right? Tito's girlfriend didn't have a first class seat. Anderson had a first class seat. Tito had a first class seat. Anderson, being the fucking absolute gentleman that he is, comes on and says, your girlfriend doesn't have the first class seat. It's okay, no problem. Oh, play the video, actually. Here's Anderson.
All right, I'm on a flight right now. I'm going back to L.A. I think the biggest thing I think Anderson Silva's ever done to me, I'm very thankful. He just actually gave up his first-class ticket for Amber to sit here. The flight's messed up. The airline, JetBlue, messed up. But Anderson Silva gave a seat up for Amber. Does it make sense? Anderson Silva, you're the man, dude. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, so let me ask you a question. Do you really think that JetBlue fucked up with her ticket?
No,
or do you think Tito just never.
But how do we know? Listen. Tito's done very well in life. He's a successful man. You know what I mean? So we've got to give him the benefit of the doubt. But between you and me and all the other people watching, no, I don't. I'm very, you know what I mean? But that just shows Anderson, such a nice guy. But that's what I'm saying. It's just like, here, Tito, I knock you out, Jim. It's okay. And now I give you my seat to your girlfriend because you can't afford it. No problem. You know what I mean? I'm like, I would have felt like such a fucking, I'm like, thank you, Anderson, but you're really emasculating me right now. Do you know what I mean?
Brutal. I mean, no, because, all right, look, here's the thing. Yes, on the surface, it looks like Anderson's being a nice guy.
Oh, it's the ultimate. This is how dumb Tito
is. This is how fucking dumb Tito is. He doesn't even understand that Anderson is cucking him in front of everybody. Okay. Right. He's going, Tito, here, I will give your girlfriend my first class seat. I'm going to sit in the back. He looks like a fucking hero. Tito's bragging about what a hero he looks like. Tito, meanwhile, could have just given up his first class seat and sat in the back with his girlfriend, which is what Anderson did.
Yes, I know. Tito should have said, no, Anderson, you're the winner here. You knocked me out. You get to fly first
class. Bring your cornerman up front.
I'll give Amber my seat and I'll go sit back down.
You can sit with Amber.
Yeah. And you can sit and talk to my wife because she likes real winners. No. Do you know, I had somebody do that to, well, I didn't have somebody. Rebecca, that was very nice of Anderson. Of course, we're joking, Tito. Well, what a classy move for Anderson. But it reminds me, one time we were flying back, I think from Australia or somewhere. Lucas was just a little newborn baby. And, oh, yeah, because the UFC, I was fighting. So the UFC flying me business class, so we get a bed and everything. And on the way back, I'm not flying all the fucking wife and kids and everything. I'm not spending $50,000 on flights. So on the way back, I said, babe, you can have... you can have the first class. I'll sit with the kids. And so she was up there by herself, but she had Lucas. Right. And Lucas was like 6 months old, maybe 1 year old. And the air hostess came over and they said, oh, no, you can't have the baby here. It's supposed to have its own seat. So I came up and I got Lucas.
Is it just in first class? Because it's usually over two.
Maybe he was two then. Maybe I'm getting ages wrong, but I'm getting the story right. Maybe I'm getting the age wrong. But no, but I think he said, yeah, no, that's right. I think he was maybe two and a half. Who knows? Whatever. But he said, no, he can't stay up there. So I had to come up and get Lucas. And this nice guy next to him that we didn't know from Adam just goes, you know what? If you want, you can take my seat. You can have my seat and I'll take your seat down there so you can be with your wife and whatnot. I know. Obviously, I didn't take him up on it. Because I'm not a fucking asshole. I'm a man. I'm like, no, you know what? That's a real solid guy of you. Boom, fist bump, high five, walk back, fucking strutted on, sat down like a real fucking man.
If I was Tito, I would have been like, no, Amber's sitting in the fucking back. I'm sitting up here up front, wallowing in my self-pity. I got knocked out in 14 seconds. I get embarrassed by Anderson Silva. And then he's on, I mean, poor Tito. He's on Twitter afterwards calling for a fight with Jake Paul. You're like, oh my God, Jesus Christ. I mean, why? Who would want to see that? I mean, by the way, logically speaking, it actually makes more sense than Jake Paul fighting Vitor Belfort or Anderson Silva because at the very least, it's a winnable fight for Jake Paul, and it seems like he wants to fight winnable fights.
Maybe Tito wasn't thinking straight because he'd made a lot of sacrifices in that training camp. So much so, Brian has a video. He listed these sacrifices. It's hard. This is what you're going to learn about what fighters go through. One set, Brian. You know, you don't get to eat a lot. And sometimes you have to drink water every day. But take a listen to the hardships that Tito went through. Sorry, Brian.
I got so much hatred towards people saying, ha-ha, you got knocked the fuck out. And ha-ha. And you people don't understand, the ones who say that, they don't understand what it is to compete. They don't understand what it is to sacrifice. They don't understand what it is to just have the discipline to go through the stuff I went through over the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks of cutting weight, of dieting, drinking water every day, salads.
He hates water. I get it.
I had steak maybe three times in the last month and a half, last month.
Yeah, steak three times in the last month.
It was a really short training camp.
It's like, fuck, man. I've only had steak three or four times this month. Do you know what I mean? Hey, listen, I get what he's saying. It's hard. It's hard. We're laughing at his expense.
Tito does this a lot where he actually is 100% right. What he's saying is, what he's trying to articulate is that it's very easy as a fucking fan to sit there when you've done nothing in this past month and he's actually trained
6 days a week, probably two times a day, diet his ass off, went from 240 pounds to 200 pounds, which is very, it's actually a huge feat, especially for an athletic guy like that. He's just not articulating it well. So he's only listing a couple dumb things. So it comes off really cringy.
No. He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. Because fair weather fans or people that sit at home that have never done anything like that in their life, it is easy for them to criticize and talk shit. And he has got a point. It's just that he didn't make it very well. And that's why we're laughing at it. Like, I had to drink water every day. I've only had steak three or four times, you were saying, maybe in a year, in a month. So that's once a week you had fancy steak. Do you know what I mean? It's not bad. But still, God bless him. And I ate a shit on Tito.
He really, and I understand it, dude. Water, if I'm actually working out, if I'm working out, I love water. It's just, there's nothing better. But if I'm just trying to drink a glass of water, it's like I'm sitting down trying to read a book. It's just like, oh, please. Really? Oh, it's so boring.
You need to grow up.
I do need to grow up.
You need to grow up. It's just water. My dad doesn't drink any water. I might have said this before, but every time he comes over here, no wonder he doesn't want to come anymore because he gets fucking lectured. I said, Dad, because he comes out here, it's warm, we're in California, does not drink a single glass of water. I'm like, Dad, you need to drink more water. I said, oh, you look up the first ingredient of brandy, water. And then he's always drinking a can of Coke. First ingredient of Coke, water. Okay? It's fucking water, son. I'm like, yeah. But it's not quite the same thing, is it, Dad?
They did actually prove that it technically is. Because they were saying for a while, it's like, oh, if you don't drink water, it's fine. And I'll tell you right now, my like from 16 to 25 years old, I don't think I drank a single drop of water. It was all just soda and beer and whatever, right? So then I lived. It was fine. And yeah, they debunked it though. They said, yeah, if you're getting your water through other liquids, it's also technically fine.
No. Of course, it's technically fine. You are taking on liquid. You are taking on hydration, but it's also all the other shit, the caffeine, the sugar, and all the chemicals and stuff that goes with it. You know what I mean? That makes it less than ideal.
What do you think about Tito Ortiz versus Jake Paul? He's the first of many to call out Jake Paul this night. It is the night of calling out Jake Paul. This is what everybody wants to do as soon as they get that microphone in front of them.
Well, unfortunately, it's not going to happen, right? Because the reality is, and again, I'm not shitting on Tito, but when you're the one that goes out and gets knocked out in 81 seconds with the first punch that lands, this is just a sad reality, and this is going to shock you now. But the world isn't clamoring to see that person fight again. They're not saying, wow, he's amazing. I've got to see him in another fight. I've got to see him against Jake Paul. Of course, Tito wants that. Everybody wants the money fight with Jake Paul, which is crazy that is the money fight right now. And we'll get to Vitor Belfort. Fucking nonsense. Jakey Paulie, 25 million. Let's go, bitch. Really, Tito? Vito swearing on a Sunday, because I'm sure it was Sunday somewhere, on the Lord's Day, on the Sabbath, you're going to use words like bitch? Okay, support for the Believe You Me podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineering tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you with the best tools that you need for your grooming experience, and Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement now and be sure not to cut your balls when you trim your balls, because essentially that's what we're talking about. Okay, we've all been there. You're trying to do a little bit of upkeep, shall we say, and you're just giving yourself a little men's groom, and whatever tool you use, it always goes wrong. You always snag yourself, you clip yourself, you cut yourself, and it stings. You get in the shower and you're screaming like a little girl. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team spent over 18 months perfecting the greatest ball trimmer ever created, which is known as the Lawnmower 4.0.
And it's not just about, you know, cutting your balls, because here's the problem. The amount of time you spend, you know, grooming yourself downstairs just to avoid cutting yourself. I spend 20 minutes sometimes, you know, trimming myself up. With Manscaped, I'm in and out. 30 seconds, baby boy. It's got a little light on it. If you're doing it in the dark, it's waterproof. I do it right in the shower. Literally 30 seconds in and out. I'm out the door. My day has started.
They started, there's a 7,000 revs per minute motor with quiet stroke technology. It's waterproof. You get a charging stand. The third generation trimmer has something built in, which is advanced skin safe technology. I mean, geez, Louise, what more do you want? Listen, bottom line is this. You're going to cut your balls. It's going to be quick. It's going to be cheap. And you're not going to be injured. Okay. If you want to try that out, and I suggest you do, you go to manscaped.com. Manscaped.com. The code is Bisping20 at checkout. That's going to get you 20% off. And free shipping. All right, manscaped.com, code is Bisping20, 20% off. Free shipping as well. All right, so anyway, let's get into the main event, if you could fucking call it that. I'm just going to say this. I was going to say this off the top. Oh, by the way, we never talked about this, actually. Every single fight was a boxing exhibition. They weren't professional fights, even the earlier fights.
There was one professional.
Not according to Ben Foulkes, who's a very... highly respected journalist. He came out today and he did an article saying that every single one was actually an exhibition match.
Okay, yeah, all right.
It might not have been him, but it was a respected journalist saying this whole thing was fraudulent. It was bullshit. There was no actual professional matches on. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, maybe you're right, but that's what I definitely read.
I know
today.
That three of the four main card matches had 2 minute rounds.
Yeah.
And then there was the one fight had 3 minute rounds. So I guess the Hayes or...
Why would David Haye fight?
David Haye, yeah.
Well, why would David Haye, the Haymaker, be 2 minute fucking rounds as well? The guy was a very high level boxer, and he was fighting another guy that's had 9 professional fights so far. I forget his name right now.
Fournier. Billionaire, like some like dude who made a bunch of money. Some British.
But he's not a fucking top boxer. And then afterwards, David Haye's calling out Tyson Fury as the only fight he's going to come back for. All right, David, good luck with that one. But you come out and beat some fucking no one, and now you're going to fight Tyson Fury. Okay. But still.
Yeah, so... Vitor Belfort versus Evander Holyfield. You know, and you said it leading into it. You know, you were very vocal about Evander, and in a weird way, watching him hit the pads, I was like, there must be something else here that we don't know. There must be something else because he looked feeble. That there's no other word to describe the way he looked leading into this fight. And, you know, it was, I was hoping that we were just sort of, he was playing some sort of mind game and he just wasn't really showing what he had. But within 30 seconds of that fight, I'm not sure if you watched the whole thing, or if you just watched the...
I saw the whole thing.
He wasn't moving, dude. He was even like his jab was just, you know, it was an old man. It was sad.
Well, he's 58 years old, but there's a young 58 and there's an old 58. And the reality is that all the combat and ring experience has taken its toll on him. And Evander was an old 58 in there. He wasn't fast on his feet. He wasn't fast with anything. Even when he was hitting pads on the open workout, he looked ridiculously slow. You know, and I say that with respect, the guy's a legend, you know, but his time has passed, clearly. But I still thought, you never know, maybe there's a part where, yeah, he hasn't got the speed, but with his other skills, with his timing, etc., perhaps he can still make it happen. But that was clearly never going to happen. And as I say, let's reiterate, this was an exhibition match, right? It was not for a world title fight. There was no personal grudge or anything like that. So why on earth did Vitor Belfort come out and put it on him like he was trying to fucking murder him? I say he's a piece of shit all the time. He is a piece of shit. There's an elderly guy here. He's clearly slow. He clearly shouldn't be in there. The commission never licensed him, so they moved the entire thing to Florida. And you're going to go at him like that? How about, number one, give the fans, the people that have paid, what they came to see? They want to see Evander moving around a little bit. At any time, you can take him out because you're clearly fast and you hit hard and you're on every fucking steroid under the sun. Granted, Evander probably is at that age to look the way that he did, but just looking good is one thing, performing good is another. But
devil's advocate, Evander probably would have taken his fucking head off if he could have.
Yeah, but you don't do that. You don't do that. when you've clearly got the edge on someone like that, it's an unwritten rule. That's not what you do. If you have skill like that, right, you don't do it. Right, him going out there against Evander Holyfield and doing that, and when Evander fell through the fucking ropes, that should have been a warning light. When then he drops him. The third time, he could have just like, all right, okay. But no, he goes at him again with everything that he had. Everything that he had, like he was fighting fucking Randy Couture or something in a world title fight.
And then when he wins, he's like bragging about it. He's like, that's what I do. I knock people out. You're like, all right, you're literally beating up an old man who's way past prime, and you're
you know, I'm not going to say Vitor. Look, Vitor, it's his job to get in there and fucking kill, right? And you know that as well as anybody.
Not in an exhibition match. Not Triller, in an exhibition match.
You're right. You're right. But Triller, they should be embarrassed. It was it was disrespectful to Evander to put him in there against somebody who's gonna, like, Vitor's not going in there to show, like, a look. Because, by the way, when you said, why is David Haye doing that? David Haye was friends with that guy who he boxed. And I guess that guy's, like, trained with him before, they're buddies or whatever. So he did treat it like an exhibition, and he could have knocked him out at any time, but he just sort of put it on him a little bit, showed that he was the better boxer. He won literally every single round on every judge's scorecards and put on a good show and made it a fun fight. And so, yeah, you're right. You're 100% right in that. And it was actually more entertaining to watch. It was just sad to watch. There was nobody was watching that going like, oh yeah, fuck yeah, Vitor, this is great. It was just, you're like, it shouldn't have happened.
Have a little self-awareness. Have a little self-awareness of the scenario that you're in. Okay, you're going up against someone that's highly revered in the boxing world. He's way past his prime, but it would have been cool to see Evander go out there, and, you know, it would have been nostalgic for everyone that maybe bought the pay-per-view because they're old-school Evander Holyfield fans, and they're probably all scratching their head going, who the fuck's this Brazilian dude? Never heard of him. Don't watch MMA. I know who Evander Holyfield is. So not only did you, like, dishonor Evander, if you will, it's a fucking exhibition bout, but you robbed everyone of what they wanted to see because your own fucking ego. You had to knock him out so quickly. Take it easy. Play with him a little bit. Have a little bit of fun. You know what I mean? High five a little bit. Come on. Oh shit, he still got it. Look at this guy, you know. Da, da, da. And if you want to put it in after a few rounds and drop him with the body shot like I did to you, go for it. You know what I mean? We're fucking doing that. The guy's 58. What if he fucking really hurt him? What if you really fucking hurt him? Do you know what I mean? Fucking hell. Fuck.
It literally had shades of Apollo versus Drago. You know, where like Drago's like, if he dies, he dies. You're like, calm the fuck down, Vitor. It is just an exhibition. You're supposed to be showing the fans a good time.
Now, you changed your tune a minute ago. You said something completely different.
I'm playing devil's advocate. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. At the end of the day, Vitor's trying to fucking get a big $30 million payday, right? And he's a mud brain.
He ain't gonna get it now. He ain't gonna get it. Because if he wanted that, do you know what he should have done?
He should have looked worse.
Because if I'm Jake Paul, we'll sidestep him. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And Anderson Silva, probably not going to get it. Tito Ortiz had the right idea, but it was a little too easy. Do you know what I mean? You don't want to look good, but you don't want to look that bad.
There's a happy medium in between Tito Ortiz and Vitor Belfort night, okay?
It's somewhere.
Look, here's the thing. You know, the whole promotion, Triller, you know, and whatever, dude, what do I know? I will say that it comes off as sort of a very trashy, garbagey, whatever it is, for them getting in the ring. Vitor gets on the mic afterwards, and he's like, Jake Paul, we got $30 million. And I guess one of the owners of Triller just didn't have enough faith that people got the message from Vitor, so he jumps on the microphone.
No. I saw all this, and I was going to get to that.
This is some cringy shit. No, please.
Yeah, it was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. It's the worst thing I've ever seen. Listen, Dana White, right, is some people love the guy, some people have issues with him. And, of course, at press conferences or whatever, in interviews, you know, Dana will fucking speak his mind, and that's why people love him for it. But also, at the same time, when you're in the ring or whatever, and you're on TV, you got to be professional. And the fucking, the CEO,
there's two of them,
talking that amount of shit, fucking Jake Paul, 30 fucking million, let's go. It's like, wow, the cringiest circus act I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, the first guy gets on, and he just reiterates what Vitor says, and he's like, so if you guys understand what we're saying, $25 million to Jake Paul. And then the other guy, who's obviously on coke, the other guy jumps on the mic and he's like, you know what? Fuck it. $30 million, motherfuckers. Let's go. That's right. You want to fucking talk? You're like, dude, first of all, this isn't WWE. Who the fuck are you?
No, who are you? First of all, they haven't got $30 million. Okay. That's the real first of all. But anyway, I'm done with that shit show. From one shit show to another one, Conor McGregor, Machine Gun Kelly. Fucking hell. You see that last night?
I did. This is.
Oh, my God. What are you doing, Conor? What are you doing? And what are you, Machine Gun Kelly? What the fuck? I mean, fair play to him, but listen, I'm from my take, He's on the I've been there. I've not been there doing that at the MTV fucking Music Awards. What I mean is I've had surgery and the medication that they give you on, you lose your fucking mind. I think a lot of that was last night because he was out of his mind on the pain pills. Because that's how it goes. They make you very fucking antsy, very erratic, very angry. No. Me and Callum, when Callum was on them, Callum's the calmest kid ever. Callum was fucking arguing with everything I was saying when he had surgery. They kind of make you like that. I don't know. I'm not making excuses for him, but just from what I saw, I was like, yep, I've had that feeling before. Yeah. Press play, Brian. Is this where he throws the drink?
Ah, the classic throw a drink.
A lot of people say that's a bitch move. I think it's a solid move right there.
Yeah, maybe not if you want to get invited back next year. Do you know what I mean?
He'll get invited back. That's Connor, dude. He threw a dolly at a woman. He got invited back. He's fine.
I saw who was it? It was on TMZ or something. Some eyewitness. An eyewitness report says apparently what happened was he went up to Machine Gun Kelly, tried to get a picture, and yeah. Machine Gun Kelly's security wouldn't let him and like kind of pushed him. So he wasn't Machine Gun Kelly that pushed him. It was his security.
That I heard him. That Machine Gun Kelly snubbed him for the picture and didn't want to take the picture.
Yeah, no, exactly. The security, and he was like, nah, and then the security guy pushed him away.
Which is crazy. That Machine Gun Kelly. Dude, that is embarrassing. The fact that Machine Gun Kelly.
It's embarrassing wanting a picture with Machine Gun Kelly.
It's embarrassing on all fronts. Oh my God, it sucks.
Oh God.
He's wearing a tiny pink jacket. It sucks.
Oh, whatever. It's giving us something to talk about. I couldn't believe it.
Who wins the fight? 7 foot tall Machine Gun Kelly or 1-footed Conor McGregor? Because remember, Conor McGregor right now, he's got a cane. He can't use a cane as a weapon. He just is hobbling on 1 foot. Machine Gun Kelly, tall guy, banging Megan Fox, which gives you a little bit of swag. Am I saying it teaches you how to fight, but I'm just saying you're banging Megan Fox. You're walking.
One question. Is this Machine Gun Kelly with all that accoutrement on his face or without?
That was cum.
Bedazzled nonsense. Because, like, I don't know who was the bigger dickhead last night, Conor McGregor or Machine Gun Kelly with that shit on his face. Because, listen, I'm all for it. Be flamboyant, be colorful, wear a pink jacket. Be, you know what it's like in this day and age? You know, all the young ones, they're very flamboyant, they're very colorful, they're very extra. Do you know what I mean? But I was not into all that sideshow on the side of his face.
Yeah, it looked like a fucking.
What is that? Get a grip.
I hate him.
I would have got that far. I would say I hate him, but annoying.
I shouldn't say I hate him. I don't know him. I just look. He went at Eminem, and Eminem had to fucking put him in his place.
Yeah, he did put him in his place.
Delightful. I just can't respect him after that.
Yeah, Eminem murdered him. Absolutely.
Now he's like an emo pop singer.
Yeah, no,
like,
I know.
You know what? I'm not going to rap anymore.
Because I saw his little thing that he did, like his performance. I didn't see it, but on the news this morning, it showed it in a roundup. And yeah, it was not a rap song. It wasn't very good at all, actually. He didn't fucking even sound good. He couldn't even sing well, but sings better than me. But still, there you go.
Did I just convince you that you hate Machine Gun Kelly?
No, you didn't convince me that I hate him. Just didn't like his new direction of pop music.
Hey, Mike, let's take a quick moment and thank RockAuto.com for supporting today's show. RockAuto.com is the number one place to go if you're looking to get parts for your car online. Whether you're an auto body guy, I'm not, you're not. You might have a friend who does work on your car, which is great as well. Maybe you go to a place to get it done. Either way, this is where you want to go and shop, because if you go in to get car parts, if you purchase car parts at an auto body shop, what are they going to do? They're going to mark up the prices every single time. You have no idea what you're getting. You have a guy who's trying to make a commission off of you. It's not the way to do it. When you do it on rockauto.com, you're getting the cheapest prices guaranteed. Nobody's making a commission, and it's really fun too.
Yeah, most of the time you take your car to get fixed, you get ripped off. Simple as that. And they're going to rip you off with the labor. They're also going to rip you off with the parts. It's the oldest trick in the book. At rockauto.com, you can easily find everything you need. So whether you're a mechanic, an auto shop worker, or working on your own car, everybody has access to the same incredible pricing at rockauto.com. So as I said, if you're a car guy or a gal, right now go to rockauto.com. Check out all the parts that are available for your car, and you will literally find everything that you need at mind-blowing prices. So once more, that is rockauto.com. There's no promo code needed, as their pricing is already that good. So if you are that person, if you're very hands-on and you fix your car, you mend your car, you fiddle with your car, go to rockauto.com and they're going to have everything you need. So you are fiddling to the best of your ability while saving money from your bank balance. rockauto.com. All right, let's get back into it. 8 minutes, and I don't even want to talk about this with you because I feel like it'll go off on a tangent, but we should talk about it because this is like, you know, it's a conversation piece, isn't it? But trans female fighter Alana McLaughlin made her professional debut over the weekend at 38 years old. She won the fight by a rear naked choke.
She looked strong.
I'm not surprised.
She looked fucking, dude, I'll tell you right now, she looked like she hit hard.
I'm sure she did.
She really looked.
Listen,
she looked like something else. Did you watch the fight? Actually,
no, I didn't watch the fight. She, there's a picture of her before when she was a man, and you know, jacked and muscly and all the rest of it. And now, obviously, she made a transition. She's a woman. I'm not here to talk about you know, trans men becoming women or anything like that. You identify as whatever you are. I couldn't care less. You want to be a man? You want to be a woman? Great, good. Good. God bless you. I hope you're happy. More power to you.
She looked a little bit like Harrington in the before, by the way.
A little bit. But as I say, you know, couldn't care less. No judgment there, whatever. But I do believe that if you are a woman that is trapped in a man's body and then you make a transition, you become a woman. Okay. Well, you have been subjected to all of that testosterone throughout your entire life, and you have, and you know that a man's body, right? So there's certain things. Okay. Number one, if you were born into the wrong body, that's a bit of a shame. And that's something that you had to put up with your entire life. And I apologize, or not apologize. That's not, I sympathize with you. You know, it must have been, and apparently her backstory is very sad as well. There was a lot of sexual abuse and stuff like that from her family members. And it's, I read an article about her on The Guardian. So I do want to choose my words carefully. Mm-hmm. And I do very, very much sympathize with her story and what she went through. But also at the same time, unfortunately, that is not a normal hand to be dealt with in life. And sometimes you've got to give up certain luxuries or certain things that you want to do. And I think if you have the body of a man, then unfortunately, competing against other girls or women in a sport where you are literally using your body to beat the other person unconscious has to be one of those things that you have to sacrifice. You know, if you want to go play volleyball, beach ball, rounders, soccer, whatever it may be, great, be my guest. But a sport where you beat someone into unconsciousness or submission, yeah, a little bit of a, no, that shouldn't be allowed.
And at the very least, there's enough of a gray area in it where there's enough of an area where that's up for debate where you say, well, no, we shouldn't be gambling with people's health. And if you actually, I was going to see if Brian could pull up a clip of she fucking hits really hard, and you it. There's a point where she hits the girl and the girl goes like, what the fuck? She has a moment where she's like, oh, she like, and this girl's tough, dude. This girl takes some shots. And it, you see it and it's jarring. And this is not it's not about trans rights. This is nothing to do with anything.
No, same. You know? That's what I'm saying.
I am very much for trans rights. I'm for gay rights. I'm for anyone's right to do whatever they want to do with their body. It's your body. It's your right. I'm very much for your personal freedoms. You know, to ignore it. It's, I almost feel like it's disrespectful to female MMA because these girls have worked so hard. I mean, not in recent memory, Dana White, 6-7 years or maybe 8-9 years ago at this point, said women will never fight in the UFC. And now we've come to the point where they're main eventing over dudes in the UFC and they have massive fan bases and they've come really, really far. We're about to talk to Mackenzie Dern, who's having her first main event. And it just sort of, I think it's disrespectful to female MMA to have a person who has genuine genetic advantages and physical strength advantages in many areas to go in and to just absolutely dominate that way. It's not
disrespectful to women. It's dangerous to women. It's dangerous because it's unfair. It's unfair. The reality is, and this is from their mouth, they would say, and maybe if I get anything wrong here, I apologize because it's not intentional. But from my understanding, they were a woman born into a man's body. Okay, so you are a woman in your mind, but you're in a man's body. With the man's body comes the exposure to testosterone, so that gives you greater strength, greater power, greater speed, and able to generate more goddamn force when you hit somebody. Yeah. She doesn't look very good technically, though. I got to say that. My God, it's taking the time. And I, at this point, I'd have my money on the chick, if I'm quite frank.
No, I think the chick was actually doing
this. Looks like you sparring.
Thanks. I think the chick was doing pretty good actually, up until the point where she gets fucking cracked. Go toward the closer to the end of it, because it's really just the last segment that she hits her with.
It's a cool cage.
She's got a cool look too. Pink hair.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, listen, God bless her. I wish her all the best, but I just like, there's a lot of things you can do in life. And if you want to fight, I don't think fighting against other women in a sport like this.
No, do it before when she hits her.
When you're at an advantage, you're clearly at a physical advantage, you know. And again, it's nothing to do with her being a bloody transgender female. It's got nothing to do with that. It's just like, you're not allowed to take steroids. You're not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Her body has been fed steroids from the time she hit puberty. You know what I mean? In a gigantic fashion. Do you know what I mean? We're not talking one jab a week. Her fucking pituitary glands have been pumping out growth hormone and testosterone and all kinds of stuff ever since she was bloody, you know, 12, 13 years old.
I think I know the answer. I think you take, what was the other transgender fighter's name? Fallon Fox?
Fallon Fox.
So Alana McLaughlin versus Fallon Fox, loser leaves gender match. One, whoever loses, they have to go back to being a woman. Or I'm sorry, they have to go back to being a man.
No, but listen, yeah, I know you're joking, but I've got issue with that.
It's not a bad idea.
I've got no issue with Fallon. No. But like, if, unfortunately, they're saying in the 145 category of female fighters, there's not much competition. There's going to be less competition in this one as well, but there is a division for transgender women. And if there's enough of them, you will fight it out amongst yourselves. Do you know what I mean? Because, yeah, I've got no issue with that whatsoever. No issue. But I do believe, and my good friend MJ Bassett, I was wondering if I could speak to her, because I'd be very, very curious. And I wonder what the transgender community, what their response would be. I would assume that they would disagree with us, you know? But I'd have to hear a really, really good fucking excuse and reason as to why
I don't even know if the transgender community would disagree. I bet you if you talk to most transgender people, they'd be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. That's pretty logical. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. The problem is it's fucking young liberals that don't have a leg in the race and they just want to have an opinion on it.
No, they can't. Simply that. Have you ever been punched in the face? No, but if she was to punch another girl, she should be able to. Well, shut the fuck up. How about that?
Yeah.
You're wrong. You are wrong. Oh, I'm right as we... Hey, Mackenzie, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Mike. How are you guys?
Hello. Great to see
you. Hi, Mackenzie. How are you?
Mackenzie, before we get into everything, we were just discussing there. I don't know if you saw this. There's a transgender MMA fighter. Did you see that?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Why are you trying to get Mackenzie in trouble? The first question
on the show. No, I'm not. But we were literally just talking about that. And I, as a female yourself, and obviously as a fighter, what are your thoughts on that? Because obviously we're sitting here. I'm not transgender. I'm a guy. You know, I'm not in a position to speak about that. You're a little closer to the situation because you are a fighter and you're a female. How do you feel about that?
That's such a hard question, you know, because it's so new. I couldn't expect to be in that situation right now. So it's just kind of crazy that it's starting to happen. I think the second transgender to be.
You know what? Say no more. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have even asked you because it is a difficult question right off the bat, as Lewis said, when you jump out. Hey, hardest question, most controversial question ever. Anyway, let's start
And
this
also,
again.
It's very funny because you said, Mackenzie, you're technically a little bit closer to the situation. Actually, we are exactly as close to the situation as Mackenzie. They're right in the middle. Yeah.
Anyway, let's get away from that. Let's start all over again. Mackenzie Dern, it is late at night. It is 9 p.m. Thank you so much.
So what do you say, pro-choice or pro-life? Go.
Shut the fuck up for a second, Lewis.
I'm kidding.
Mackenzie, thank you for joining us. I really, really appreciate it. I know it's late at night. I know you got a main event coming up soon and your rest is important. But thanks for joining us. How you doing?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm so happy, you know, I'm excited. My first main event, like you said, just training. I actually just texted Perillo, like, hey, can we go 9 a.m. tomorrow training? So trying to get as much rest as I can between one training to the next, you know? So my mind's like already thinking, okay, the more rest, you know? So I'm excited. This main event's going to be good. Marina Rodriguez, she's really tough. She's a striker. I'm a grappler. Let's get this to the ground and finish, and we're good to go.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the logical thinking, but I've seen you in the gym, Mackenzie. I see you throwing those hands, and I see in your last few fights as well, your hands have come a long way. Of course, this is five rounds, your first five round of fight. I mean, obviously, everybody knows, you know, it's just harder to train for, but how are you finding that process?
It's good. I mean, Coach Perilla, he's got me in the training for five rounds I'm 1 year with Perillo, so we have 4 wins in this 1 year, and he's been getting me training for 5 rounds since we started training together, you know. So we've been kind of expecting, like, okay, maybe if it's not main event, but maybe short notice or something like that. So we've been ready for a while, you know, and hopefully we don't go the 5 rounds, but we're prepared for it.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I remember watching you working the pads with Perillo, and your striking has come a really, really long way. Do you feel like you have to prove that you can strike with her at all in this fight, or is it straight up? Because you said the game plan is to get her to the ground, but do you feel like you want to prove a little bit in the striking department first?
No, I don't want to prove. I think, like, I've been proving already, like, just naturally. And from what I've seen, like, the other girls I fought, it's kind of, my style is already, like, more aggressive, you know. I'm always, like, pressing. Coach is kind of getting me a little bit too kind of pressured, but a little bit more calculated. So I feel like this fight is, what I've seen in Marina, she's kind of strategy. She's, like, kind of paying attention a lot to how her opponents are coming in and moving. She's a good striker, you know. She's not. So we definitely want to, like, pressure, but I feel like this is the time that I can really show how my mind is catching up to everything that coach has been teaching me, you know, and I'm not just going in there and get knocked out or something. Just yeah. Randomly, you know? I kind of want to faint and just work getting in closing the distance, you know. So I think my punches will come out, my striking will show, but definitely I don't want to be like staying 5 rounds striking with Marina Rodriguez, you know.
But that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's all about the mental side of things, you know, yeah. Because even though you're in there in the gym and you're hitting the pads and you're doing all this stuff, as you know, as I'm sure Jason has talked about you, because you throw combinations and then you go in the fight. The two very different things. Training in the gym is one thing, and getting it to cross over and doing it in the octagon are two very, very different things, aren't they?
Yeah, like my first fight with coach, it was like training in just the simple things like getting my base, and some comfortable in the stand-up. I was so confident going to the fight, I like threw like a high kick that I never do, you know, and I fell on my back on the first, like, the first minute, and then Randa, she ended up going into my guard, everything worked out, but coach is like, well, you felt confident, you know. I was like so excited, like, yeah, I felt so good, you know, and then I do things that I never do before. So definitely trying to like just stay calm, and I mean, I don't want to say like, oh, I'm so confident, but definitely if we go the 5 rounds standing up and I can't take her down, I think I can hold my own. So that's the best part.
Well, on paper, I guess, would you say she's your toughest opponent? Because she's only got one loss, I think, and she's beaten some good people like Amanda Ribas. She was on a roll. Michelle Waterson, she's been around forever. So would you say on paper this is your toughest test? And when you win, you got to be thinking title fight sometime soon, I would assume.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, she's definitely on paper, like you said, like ranking wise, she's definitely the toughest, you know, but it's like against Virna Janjirova, who when I was back at number 11 and I think she was 12, we were really close. She had like ground, and even though her striking isn't as technical as Marina, you know, she like threw some hands, you know, I broke my nose, you
she's
know,
tough. Like,
she's tough.
And that was an amazing fight, by the way. That you was know, an incredible, and Janjirova, is it Janjirova or Janjirova?
Janjirova, like Janjirova. With the rolled R.
Yeah, because I got told off at the UFC for saying Janjirova, and they said, Michael, it's Janjirova. I think that was Brendan Fitzgerald. I'm like, no, it's Janjirova. No, but that fight was amazing. Sorry, you just brought that up. I'm like, yeah, I got to say congrats for that.
Thanks. Yeah, and I think the fact that she knew her ground and was a little bit more difficult, and I really had to stay standing up, that was a little bit more harder than from what I've seen in Marina. Her striking so good, but even the strikers like Michelle Waterson, who's a striker, took her down, you know. So even though Marina won the fights that Marina won, she was still taken down at least one time during the fight, you know. So her weakness is definitely the ground game and just the takedown. So I feel like the matchup is a little bit more for my side than it is for her side. So I think that's a good thing in this matchup for me.
And, you know, this is something that Mike's talked about in the past, but this being your first main event, do you find that the media responsibilities are at all a distraction, or have you noticed at all? Cause you've been a star for a while. I think you do a lot more interviews than, you know, other fighters that have your experience level in the UFC, but has it been a distraction at all?
No, it's been so good. I just recently signed with Paradigm Sports Management, you know, so I'm really excited about that. And they're doing so good with me, you know, like they're kind of giving me my media, not all at once, just kind
of. This happened.
Yeah.
And this happened.
So they like spread it out, you know, it's not like all these things, you know, and that's, it's like refreshing, you know, okay, I can kind of knock two out this week, two out next week, you know, and it's good, you know, it's good to just have someone who's kind of taking care of you and it's not overwhelming. It's good. I'm almost like, okay, I'm excited to talk about it, you know.
Well, who do you deal with?
Well, I'm sorry, Mike.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that's almost something we heard about, like, you know, I compare it, Ronda Rousey is somebody who came up and was, you know, a star and, you know, obviously has a lot of influence over female MMA. But that's something that people would say. It's like by the time she got in the spotlight that the media responsibilities and just being that much of a star became a big distraction. And I was just wondering if that was sort of, you know, bleeding into you at all and it was being a distraction at all.
Okay, I'm going to say we did get like two offers for like some film, like movie acting, you know, movie and like episodes, like reality, not reality show, but like TV show. And I can tell like a little bit like itching, like, man, that sounds fun, should we do it, you know? And they were like, no, it's not the right time. So I can definitely see like how it, you can kind of get lost and decide, you know, get taking off into different things and start to wanting to do movies and things like that. I know Randa, she did a lot of movies and people were kind of saying that she was like filming during her camps and stuff like that. So I'm just kind of like, okay, stay focused. Let's get to the belt, you know, after we'll decide what we want to do. But the offers are like coming and I'm like, oh man, this sounds good. You know, maybe the money. And like, no, focus.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You want to stay focused. But also I will say, and I'm not going against any advice you've been given, you do want to take advantage of the opportunities that you can find your way. You know what I'm saying? So maybe don't say no. Maybe say after this fight, I'll take one of these movie roles. When is the fight, Mackenzie? How long you got?
It's 4 weeks, October 9th. So pretty soon.
Oh, so you're in the thick of it now.
Yeah, exactly. And all the offers, it's all like in September, you know, it's like this month, you know, so we're like, you know, so, but yeah, I just focus on the weight, you know, my last fight, I had like a really good, I guess, like transformation, body transformation, you know, I was able to like really build up my muscle. Was like kind of the first time after my daughter was born that I was able to focus on the strength training. I was just trying to catch up like with my boxing, with my striking, my jiu-jitsu. And then finally I felt ready. So I feel like I kind of have to hold up to the standards, you know, everyone's expecting me to come back like this beast, you know, already and prepared to be like champ material. So I'm really like focused just to be, you know, reaching the standards every time.
Yeah, well, you always had a lot of pressure on your shoulders because when you came into the UFC, there was a lot of hype around you, obviously coming from the jiu-jitsu world and your record so far. How has the UFC run been for you? I mean, I know you had one loss. That's it. So other than that, you've been perfect. But as I said, there was a lot of pressure, but so far things are going well.
Yeah, I think the loss was really just a blessing in disguise. You know, it's like hard to say that, you know, but it's true. It kind of took that pressure a little bit, you know. I didn't make weight the fight before that, you know, in Rio was like almost 7 pounds. I didn't make weight. So that was a big thing that kind of took a lot of actually kind of put more pressure on me, you know. Everyone said, oh, it's just hype, she's not responsible and all these things, you know. So definitely kind of like made me realize what you need to be like a professional MMA fighter, you know. It's not the same. It's, I know it's like to be the best in the world in jiu-jitsu, but MMA is a different sport, you know. So you have, the fans are different, the critics are different, you know. We can take some things in like transition. But yeah, I just needed to like really up my game and be more professional, you know. It's like having fun. The UFC has always been great to me, you know. Imagine like coming to the UFC, all these, have a fight, go get party and paid and all these things and single and woo, having fun, you know. So I was just like, I was totally like just having fun, you know. And like it was working, I was fighting, I was winning, like getting by, created some a little bit hard fights, but getting by. But now I'm like, okay, we have the potential to have like way more success, and that's obviously the best.
And how is it balancing being a mother now? I mean, this is, you know, how many camps have you done as a mother?
This will be my fifth camp.
It's your fifth camp. So now you're you're into the swing of things. You got it all down. Well, let me ask you this. How much has being a mother helped you focus on your career? Because for me, becoming a father, it set everything into motion. It made everything real. Every decision I made became that much more important. But how much did that affect your career, do you think?
Yeah, the same thing. I mean, it's just like I was saying before, when you're single, you know, if you're like low on money, you can get by just eating like ramen noodles or something like that, you know, and you can pass through difficulties by yourself. But when you have like a family depending on you and, you know, your daughter, you don't want them to go through any hard times, you know, the sponsors, all these things are into play, you know, so you really like focus down and like, okay, we don't need to be passing through hard times right now. You know, we can focus. So definitely my focus, and I think just the maturity level, you know, you see things before little things, you think like, man, this is such a big deal. And after you have a kid, you're like, oh, that's no big deal. You know, you know, you realize like, okay, as long as she's healthy, she's safe, everything's good. Then that's what's important. But definitely like, even after five camps, it's like, she's getting like, now she's walking, she's talking. So definitely everything is like a new experience, you know? So now I take her to the gym with me, and someday she's good. And sometimes she's running around and I'm like, no, stay here for, you know, just trying to, so it's definitely new experiences.
But that's what I was going to say. Cause when you come to the gym, a lot of the time, I mean, I'm not down there very often these days, but when I do see you, sometimes it's a family affair and is it your husband? It's your husband, right?
Yeah, my husband. Yep.
Sorry. What was his name again?
Wesley.
I apologize. Wesley, yeah. He is the nicest guy ever. Oh yeah. My God, what a warm, beautiful man. He's just so nice. So you're down there and he's there and the kid's there. It's beautiful to see. It really is.
Yeah, it's good. You know, he's a surfer, professional surfer. So like good vibes, afro, you know, just like
he's a handsome guy,
you know, smoking all the time, whatever, you know, just all like, you know. And yeah, it's good when they're at the academy with me. You know, he tries to like hit the bag too, get his little workout in and stuff like that. So it's good, you know, it's so hard.
He's not a martial artist at all?
No, like totally ocean and go with the waves and everything.
I don't know if I can handle that. I don't know if I can handle it if my girlfriend could actually kick my ass.
What would happen? Like if you guys like mess around and do jiu-jitsu, I'm assuming that you could, you know, dominate him in a jiu-jitsu match pretty easily, correct?
Yeah, 100%.
sorry, Wesley. I apologize.
No, but it's like kind of going back to the first question, you know, about the transgender and things like that. I mean, I trained with my dad my whole life, and I fought like Gabby Garcia, who's 200 pounds, you know, and all my training has always been with my dad, and she's never put the same pressure that my dad has put on me, like in training, his weight.
Interesting.
And, yeah, you know, the way he, and he's not like trying to kill me, of course. I'm his daughter, you know, but her 200 pounds, I'm 115 pounds. It doesn't compare to the way that my dad feels. And my dad's like 160 pounds, you know, but he still has like man strength, you know? So just kind of.
So what you're saying is, even though Wesley, like maybe you can technically beat him, he's got that man strength. So good for you. Good for you. You've got his back. You're like, listen, I might have the technique, but he's got man strength and he can pick me up, throw me into a wall head first.
No, if he really wanted to, he could like hold my arm down and stuff like that. I can get some lots of sneaky stuff on him.
He can surf away from you. That's what
In a perfect world, you go out there, you beat Rodriguez. What is the roadmap to the title? How many fights do you think you are away? Because listen, of course, I know what you're working towards. I know what you're capable of. You got a fantastic coach. You got a great support team in Paradigm. You got great people around you. And I'm assuming you're obsessed with becoming world champion. What is the road path or the path, the map to becoming the champ? What does that look like?
I mean, like, honestly, if we win this fight, like clean, good, easy, I would be asking for the bell right after that, you know. If it's a hard fight and we have some things that we want to, you know, take care of, some homework to do, then I could see us asking for like one more fight before this. I don't know, Carlos Esparza maybe. I've always fought like mostly strikers, you know. Vina was a grappler, but I've never fought like a real wrestler, you know. So I think if it would kind of be just a different matchup to see me versus Carla. But yeah, if not, just go for the belt. You know, I'm excited to see with Rose and Zhang Weili. It's pretty soon. It's like in November, I think, Madison Square Garden. So hopefully I can see that front row with the win on my shoulders and see maybe who's the potential.
Go on, Lewis.
I was going to say, you're so nice, Mackenzie. And you're actually saying a very like realistic thing. You're like, look, if I come out and I kill it, I'm going to ask for a title shot. And that's what you should do. It's really incredible. But it's so funny, like, just to see the other side of it where people are so mean in this sport sometimes. And I'm just watching you. You have such a pleasant demeanor about you. And it's really, really refreshing. And I think it works for you. It doesn't work for everybody, but it really works for you.
Yeah. It's crazy, you know, because I think jiu-jitsu, we fight each other all the time, you know, so you can win and lose to the same person like 5 times in 1 month, you know, because we fight all the time. So it's like, it's business, you know, it's business.
Well, talking of winning and losing to the same people, what was your reaction when they made the rematch for Zhang and Rose? Because obviously Rose beat her pretty easy. And then I don't know if you saw it, you probably did. I'm assuming you follow your weight division pretty closely. Zhang Weili came out and said, you know, she saw Weidman break her leg and that threw her off mentally. Number one, what did you think of that excuse? And secondly, what did you think of that fight booking?
I definitely didn't think Zhang Weili was focused, you know. I don't think it was because of the – I wouldn't believe that it's just because of the foot, you know. Like, I saw her coming out kind of like, you know, talking to the celebrities in the crowd, you know. And I think, you know, she didn't seem focused at all, you know. But I thought that the rematch was – I mean, it was, like, pretty fast, you know. So I definitely think that the second fight won't go that fast. I think it will be longer. And I think everyone wants to see – you know, if it could maybe be like a Joanna with Zhang Weili, that fight was, man, one of the best fights in women's history, you know? So, but yeah, I mean, I think Rose is just, she's a beast, man. She's good at everything, you know? It's like the surprises. She always has these surprises that no one expects, you know? So it's just dangerous.
Yeah, no, she's incredible. She really is. And that would be an amazing fight, you two. Oh my God, I can't wait for that one. But there is Carla Esparza. She is out there as well. And she's like, because as you say, I mean, there's Rose and there's Joanna. And maybe there's someone I'm missing. But like, if you win this, you're next. But then there's Carla Esparza. Like, she's like a little fly in the ointment. Yeah. You know what I mean? What are we going to do? Are you going to fight Carla? What's the deal? If you have to, is that a fight you would take?
Yeah, well, we wanted Carla now before Marina, you know, because she's in front of us. She had like 5 wins. But she,
and stylistically, that's a fucking perfect matchup. Sorry, pardon my language.
Yeah, definitely, you know. And it's like,
she's going to take you down and she's going to get submitted. No offense, Carla. I love Carla as well. She's great.
You know, maybe like we'd be both, I don't know, standing up. I don't know. I don't know what would happen on that fight, you know. But from what I heard, that she wanted to wait for the belt, you know, for the title. But then they offered the rematch, and I don't know. I don't know when whoever wins, Zhang Weili or Rose, I don't know when will be the next time they want to fight again, you know? So if they want to fight in, like, I don't know, June of next year, June of 2022, you know? And then to be, like, waiting until June, and Carla didn't want to fight anyone else until the belt, you know? You can't be waiting that long, you know? I was already, like, 9 months out with my pregnancy, you know, and all these things. I don't want to take any more time out.
You got to strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah, definitely. Like, we're on a roll right now. Let's go.
I was going to say goodbye, but Lewis, you got one more, buddy?
Well, I was going to say, if you had, in a perfect world, who would you rather fight, Zhang or Rose?
Rose. I think Rose, you know. Zhang, she's like, she's very athletic, you know. I'm getting my strength. I'm getting my athleticism, you know, but.
Oh, because you think it's an easier fight.
No. I don't think, I just think that Rose, I'd be really excited to kind of test my jiu-jitsu with her, you know. I know I follow Rose since the beginning, you know, so I see her working like some heel hooks with Ryan Hall, you know. She's kind of like just,
I see,
doing all these different martial arts, you know what I mean. And honestly, she's sponsored by Ruka, where I train at, so I'm kind of okay, I gotta like beat this girl.
That would be a great fight as well, because it would also be you versus Rose, but it would be Perilla versus Trevor Whitman, who are the two best coaches in MMA, if you ask me as well. So that would be fun. All right. Well, listen, it's late at night. It's 9:20. You got training in the morning?
Yes. Training in the morning.
In Ruka?
Yes, at Ruka.
All right. Well, if I wasn't such a fat, lazy bastard, I'd say I'll see you there, but I won't be. I'll be driving to Vegas. Thank you very much for joining us. All the best in the fight coming up. And one more time, thank you very much, Lewis.
Thank you so much, guys.
Mackenzie, thank you. Good luck.
Always great talking with you guys. Have a great day.
All right, Mackenzie. All the best. Take care. Bye-bye. And tell Wesley we say hi.
I will. Don't worry.
Stop being such a little... Stop getting beaten up of his wife.
I knew you were going to say that.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
You're right, Lou. She is. She's awesome. She's so great. Such a great, friendly demeanor.
It's like it's a unique thing because it's not like that bubbly, like kind of like cute thing. It's just, nobody else really has that, and it really does work. You want to see her win. Harrington, you know, shame bell for Harrington for not including her in the hottest female fighter category last year, because she is beautiful and likable. An embarrassment and a blemish on Harrington's career.
Well, he's just got eyes for Macy Barber only. You know what I mean? That's all he cares about. But that will be a good fight. Marina Rodriguez is, she's very good. As I say, she's only got one loss in her record. So I think McKenzie can get the job done. Now, of course, I'll be rooting for her and wishing her all the best.
Hey, let's take a quick moment and thank Hemp Fusion for supporting the show. We love Hemp Fusion. You guys know what's up. They make incredible high-quality organic CBD products. I love their sleep support, which blends 10 milligrams of CBD, terpenes, omegas, plus gabon, black pepper, and clove oil. And they unleash the entourage effect, which helps you get a very, very amazing great night's sleep with no weird side effects. The next morning, you wake up all groggy, which is what all the over-the-counter medicines do. I really, really love this product.
Yeah, look, listen, hempfusion.com is the website, but Hemp Fusion is the company. And if you go to their website, you're going to see a variety of wellness and CBD products. Of course, they have the sleep support. They have the energy support, which I take every morning. It's beautiful. It's really, really good. You don't feel anything, but I'm so much more productive in my days. And honestly, we're reading an ad read, but this is absolutely true. The energy support really is mind-blowing. I'm drinking less coffee and I'm way more productive. As I said, there's also the stress support, which comes in handy for somebody like me, especially when I'm around the people of Gas Digital. I need that stress support on a daily basis. But listen, you want the best CBD, okay, that is truly organic. A lot of companies say that they're organic, but they don't really mean it. Hemp Fusion are. They really are. And it's the best quality as well. I've talked about it before. I'm not going to bore you with the details, but the way that they extract the CBD, the way they do it is very laborious for them. It takes them a long time, but it also ensures that they get the best quality. So check it out. You will not be disappointed. Go to hempfusion.com and the code is COUNT. You're going to get 25% off and free shipping all of your high quality CBD oil products from Hemp Fusion. Code is COUNT. Remember, 25% off and free shipping. Anyway, what were we talking about before? Oh, transgender. Move on from that bollocks. That's a minefield. We were literally talking about when she comes out. I'm like, oh, the perfect person to ask. She's like, whoa. If she had a PR team, if Paradigm were like, if it was in person and it was like week of the fight, whatever, and we were in studios, they would be like, no. You are not asking her that question. So apologies for that.
Which is also kind of sad that we're in this state where people have to fucking tiptoe around these subjects, which at the very least are up for debate. It's not like, dude, if somebody's out there being hateful, yeah, dude, fuck them. You know what I'm saying? Like, but to have a nuanced conversation with athletes who understand this sport much better than some fucking vegan nerd on the internet, a way higher level. Like, I want to hear Mackenzie Dern's opinion on this. I want to hear your opinion on this. You guys get it. You've competed. You put your bodies on the line. You know exactly what it's like. Mackenzie had that great point where she was like, I know what it's like to have a 150-pound man on top of me or a 200-pound woman on top of me. And let me tell you something. The 150-pound man knows how to distribute his weight in a different way than a woman knows how to do it. And it's just a biological fact. And to ignore that.
And I'm going to say this. Gabby Garcia's weighed more than 200 pounds.
Yeah, she's huge, dude.
She's fucking massive. That's Gabby Garcia on a significant diet. She's been cutting out the carbs. If she's 200, she's massive. She's huge. All right. Should we wrap this one up? What is it? 12:30 a.m. for you. It's late there.
I'll go extra long tonight, baby.
Well, I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna go to bed. I got things to do. I still got some work and I still got commentary to do. Watch The Contender. If you guys are at home tomorrow night, tune in, watch The Contender. Laura Sanko is now one of the commentary team, the first woman of the Zuffa era. Wow. By the way, so yeah, congrats to Laura Sanko for that, stealing my job. It's all right, you know, we have bills to pay, Laura, thank you very much, but she's taking it all away. Oh, we have a question, Brian. Excellent, thanks for chiming in with that.
Let's do plugs real quick. First of all, if you want to ask a question, bympod@gmail.com is the email address. And yeah, go subscribe on iTunes, YouTube, everywhere you can subscribe to get podcasts. Subscribe at Gas Digital for the on-demand library, all the shows we've ever done, ad-free and uncensored. Use the promo code BYM, get a 7-day free trial, etc. Okay, go ahead.
All right, so we got Tom Warby with a little variation on a forbidden question here.
Oh, okay. Oh, is it a Jake Paul's?
No. It's worse than that.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Lewis. Just been reading More Quitters Never Win. I thought I'd send in a quick question. That book is genuinely phenomenal. I'm absolutely loving it. I really like the story about the guy who broke into your first house, Mike. I mean, it scared me shitless. So that brings me to my question. Now that, you know, you could beat pretty much anyone you wanted to in a fight, I mean, you're always good, but if you could get in the cage with anyone now and do whatever you wanted for 25 minutes, who would it be? Would it be one of the guys in your book, like the guy outside the club that got you put in prison, or would it be the guy who broke into your house? Let me know. That's a question for all of you, by the way. Like, Lewis, would it be Harrington? Because that would be a nice 25 minutes for you, wouldn't it? Let me know. Cheers, guys.
Yeah, 25 minutes locked in a cage with any person that alive. This means a person that has wronged you in the past. This is actually a decent question. It's not like if you could fight any one man alive. This is you could kick the fucking shit out of somebody for 25 minutes. This could be somebody that's fit. You know, you go back in time.
I heard the question.
I'm giving it some fucking
time. You don't have to. Yeah, I was going to say thank you very much for sending in that question. It was very well drafted. It was very well delivered. Thank you very much. Great camera on it. Delivery was perfect. I heard it the first time. You don't have to repeat it. You don't have to tell it me again.
I'll be over here, Bisping. No problem.
No, just say thanks, and then you give your answer, and I give my answer. You don't need to waste dead air, that's called.
Sure.
Dead air.
Dead air is...
What was his name? Ben?
Tom Warby.
Warby? Tom Warby. I don't know if I could fight anybody. No one that he mentioned, I don't hold it any ill will. The guy outside the pub, he got filled in anyway. So don't worry about that one. Anyway, I know. I know. Yeah, I got a few people I'd like to be locked in a cage with that I could get away with, but I'm not going to say it on air. Unfortunately, Tom Warby. What have you got, Lewis?
Let me think. One person I can be locked in the cage with for the rest of my life, or
not for the rest of your life.
25 minutes.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's a very different answer.
Somebody that I've hated. Who do I fucking hate that much that I want to beat? There's somebody that I want to beat the shit out of. Like, there's nobody. You know what? No. All right, I can think of somebody. I won't say his name, but there's a certain comedy journalist. That if I could illegally be locked in a cage with him for 25 minutes, oh my God, would I?
No, see, that's the thing, but we're not giving answers. It's a shitty thing. It's hard to answer that question because if we're actually being honest, we've got to say someone that people know. It's like,
well, it sounds threatening.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. We can't come out and go, yeah, that guy. I want to be in a cage, and it's on the podcast, and it's for the world to see, and it gets out there. Is that Luis J. Gomez was threatening that guy?
I'm not threatening him. I said if it was legal and there was no repercussions, and he just mano a mano, we both decided to get into that cage, it would be that guy. Would I ever attack him? No. Would I ever physically go just grab him and beat the shit out of him? No. But if I could, would I? Yeah. That'd be the one.
Oh, yeah. I've got a few. There's a few people I'd like to kick the shit out of in a legal scenario. A few people I'd like to kick the shit out of in an illegal scenario.
You want to hear them, though.
You know, I'd rather do it out of a cage, to be honest. I'd like to use illegal maneuvers, moves that are not allowed in the
12 to 6 elbows?
Oh, 9 to 6 elbows. Whoa.
Fucking oblique kicks out the ass.
Out the ass or in the ass, whichever one you want to call it. And on that note, we'll say cheerio. Thanks for watching, as always. And we'll be back with another show later in the week. Until then, be safe, be well, take care. Cheerio, toodle pip.